From the LiveX studios in New York City, Cheesehead TV brings you two guys who like to think they know something about football.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome back to Packer Transplants Live. I am Aaron Nagler, and joining me, as always, is my partner here at Cheesehead TV, Mr. Corey Banky. I'm coming to you live from the LiveX studio in Midtown Manhattan. Corey joins us live from Green Bay, Wisconsin, across the street from Lambeau Field, and we are ready to talk some Packers. What do we have on tap today, Corey?
Today, we'll break down the win over the Lions and look ahead to a special Saturday night against the Carolina Panthers. But right now, it's time for the good, the bad, and the ugly. We got the good. We got
MV motherfuckin' S.
We got the bad. We got
Mike, of course, Pettin.
We got the ugly. We got
late kick coverage. You got the game won. Just don't give up a 71-yarder. Are you kidding me? Oh, Banky, drives me to drink, I'm telling you. How the hell are you, Banky? How you doing?
You'd be drinking anyway.
Yeah, that's a fair point, sir. It's a fair point. Out of these fine glasses provided to us by the good friends across the street from yourself over there at the Pro Shop.
Oh, they didn't provide me with this, though.
Good stuff.
I had to buy this myself. So.
Well, you know, they're not running a charity. They're not running a charity, Banky.
They are not. Normally, I'm repping the Cheesehead TV gear, but, you know, we're one not done.
One not done.
I did not get the hoodie. I got to go back over there and get the hoodie.
Well, you know, remember what
nice
they...
little lady didn't they always, tell me about that.
Remember what they always say, you know, when you shop at the Pro Shop, you're helping the pros win. You know, your little contribution there goes to help pay Aaron Rodgers' salary. So thank you, Corey. Thanks for pitching in.
Before we get to news and before we get to anything else, I just want to say... Before we really spend all of our time talking about defense, I would like to say this team is dropping 30 burgers on it all day, and everybody all day just wants to talk about defense. So I'm done talking about defense, and now we're going to talk about defense. Okay, let's go.
We're not going to talk about defense until it is appropriate in the script when our rundown gets to defense.
There's a script.
Sir, we talk
There's
about everything on this here program. Defense is one part of the game, though, and we got to talk about it. But we won't be talking about it just yet because right now we got to get to some Packers news. That's right. Hey, Corey. I don't know if you heard about this, but the Packers clinched the NFC North. Hey, look at that.
Woo!
Packers clinching the NFC North
done,
in
baby.
Early December.
One not done.
Come on, people. That's what I'm talking about.
I like it.
Gotta love it. Hey, lots still remaining for this team. I understand that, but nothing wrong with celebrating the fact that, yes, they have won the North. Some practice squad news, because I know Corey's a big fan of the practice squad news. Brian Price brought back a defensive lineman who was a former undrafted free agent addition for the Packers a couple years ago. He is back on the practice squad, giving them some depth along the D-line. We'll see if he gets activated up to the game day squad anytime soon. Next up, we got Jay Sternberger, very unfortunately still in the concussion protocol. Hate to see that. The Packers only had a walkthrough today on Wednesday. They have a kind of a funky schedule this week because of the Saturday night game. But Jace has not progressed seemingly far enough to get out of that protocol. He is probably not going to play yet again on Saturday night, which you hate to see. Aaron Jones, ladies and gentlemen. Aaron Jones hired a new agent. That's right. Fired his old agent.
Not just any agent. Uh-huh. He didn't hire Jerry Maguire.
No, he got Mr. Drew Rosenhaus to represent him. And instantly, the moment that news hit Twitter, my whole feed was like, well, goodbye, Aaron Jones. And I think that's somewhat warranted, given Drew's past, you know, the light in which he is viewed around the league certainly would suggest that, yeah, he's going to try and fight for top dollar for his guy. He's going to want a big time contract for Aaron Jones, and I just don't think, as I said on Twitter, it's nice that there's going to be a different agent making those calls in the 1265 Lombardi, but I don't think it's going to change anything in regarding, you know, how Brian and Russ go about constructing their roster or the contract they may offer Mr. Jones. So we'll see. I understand Aaron Jones probably be a little frustrated watching all the other top backs in the league getting big paydays, and he's sitting here with negotiations that have been going on since April, getting apparently nowhere, probably wanted a fresh start. I don't doubt Drew somehow surreptitiously a little poison in his ear about, hey, you know, you come with me, you get a better deal. You know, that's, you know, all's fair in love and war, and Drew's been known to do that.
He
so.
Technically, he previously was with the original Jerry Maguire, right? He was with
Lee Steinberg. That's right.
I can't remember. Yeah,
Lee Steinberg. Yep. So, and that's Steinberg is
He got rid of Jerry Maguire and basically got the biggest shark out there.
He did.
We'll see.
It is interesting, too, because of the fact that Lee represented both Aaron and Jamal. You know, and the Packers drafted them. You know, that was the case. They both there. We'll see if maybe this leans into the idea of Jamal getting an extension now, because you got to think, like I said, probably have some, maybe not contentious negotiations, but I got to think Drew's going to want big money, and I don't think the Packers are going to give it to him. So we'll see how that plays out, as we like to say. Next up.
A lot of ball game. Here's the thing. One thing about Aaron Jones that I think that people, I think he's probably the most underrated running back in football today, and maybe the most underrated running back in the last 3 years, honestly. And it's only in the last 2 weeks that he's getting any kind of cred. I know the Packers know what his value is, but you got
to
be kidding
yourself.
Especially to the Packers. I think that this guy, you got to be kidding yourself if you think this guy is not a top five running back.
A thousand percent.
This deal, he's just going to get better, you know, before, you know. So.
Of course, the other problem working against an extension for Aaron Jones is the selection of A.J. Dillon in this year's draft. You know, you'd be remiss not to mention that. You know, the fact that they did expend a second round pick for the guy to come in and continue on the tradition of carrying the rock for the Green Bay Packers makes it hard to justify paying Aaron Jones whatever you want, like whatever huge deal he definitely deserves. It's hard to see Green Bay pulling the trigger on that. But we'll see. Like you said, a lot of ball game left. Who knows what happens health-wise for any of these backs? And who knows? Maybe they find a way to structure the deal in such a way that makes it palpable for both sides. I tend to doubt that's going to happen, but you never know. We'll see. Finally, we got two other nuggets of news here for you, Corey. First up, the Packers partnering with the Bucks and the Brewers on the Equity League Fund, making capital available to minority business entrepreneurs. I love to see this. I love that all three major sports organizations in the state are doing this in conjunction with Titletown. It's just a great idea. I think it's really smart.
It's a no-brainer. Yeah, it's a no-brainer. It should have happened years ago. It should be part of the mission and the philosophy of the Green Bay Packers to help people of color, because primarily the people that play for the Green Bay Packers as players and coaches and in this organization are a lot of people of color. So it should be part of their mantra and part of their mission. So kudos to that.
Absolutely. 1,000%. And finally, the last bit of news. Packers announced this morning they are partnering with the Green Bay Police Department to help on a technology side, including body cameras. I mean, Corey, if you want to see some of the best and saddest comedy on the internet, just go to any of the Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, wherever they make this announcement, and then go read the comments underneath.
Whew, no, thank you.
Baby, let me tell you.
No, thank
you. There's some sad sections of humanity out there. Hey, here's accountability.
Jeez, Nagler.
Free of charge. Green Bay Packers are going to provide it, and you're mad. Okay, cool. However you want to roll, man. So that's it. Those are our Packers news nuggets today, Corey. I know you're very excited. You ready to talk about the offense? We're not talking about defense yet. We're going to start with dessert. We're going to start with the good stuff. And you know what? Everyone's talking about Aaron Rodgers. Everyone's talking about Davante Adams. We just started talking about A.J. You know, Aaron Jones. You know, it's like these things have been well covered. You know who has not been talked about a whole lot? And I understand why, because he's not killing it on the stat sheet. He's not, like, putting up huge numbers. He's not having a great game like, say, MVS did. Just want to give a shout-out to Equanimeous St. Brown. EQ, one catch, not a huge day. But if you watch the tape, he's there. He's utilized. He's definitely blocking his ass off. And he certainly seems to be rounding into shape health-wise. I think we're going to see more out of this kid as this kind of end of season into the playoffs rolls around. I think they're going to get maybe not a new receiver, quote unquote, but just another weapon, another guy who can help you, another guy who can give you something in the rotation. I think a big slot type guy who, does block his ass off, is a very physical presence, but that catch he made in the opening drive where Rodgers is off schedule, rolling to his right, and finds EQ for a first down, that tells me he's in sync with the QB, and the QB trusts him. And I just wanted to give him a shout-out, because as we talked about with MVS last week, when he got one target and dropped it, but still, you know, played his ass off. EQ got his one target, caught it, and played his ass off. So I think there are bigger things coming for EQ down the stretch here. And I just wanted to, shine a little light on it because, like I said, you can only talk about Aaron Rodgers being the MVP so many times. You can only talk about Devontae Adams being in another stratosphere from the rest of humanity so many times. So I just wanted to give EQ a shout out. Next up, we were talking about A.J. Dillon. He was active on Sunday. Didn't see the ball from scrimmage. Didn't see any snaps from scrimmage.
Exciting.
I think he got four snaps on special teams. And all week long, all I've gotten are tweets and chats on Packers Daily. Are we going to see more A.J. Dillon? When's A.J. Dillon going to be used? Are they going to use him in short yardage situations? And I'm just here to say, don't expect a lot. I just don't expect a lot of A.J. Dillon. I think if there are injuries in front of him, if Aaron Jones or Jamal Williams get dinged up, I think you'll see more A.J. Dillon. I think you'll see him utilized. But unless that happens, I don't expect a whole lot.
You started to see him in the early, or not
prior to the COVID,
early, but like
prior to being
prior
to
his COVID, you started to see him almost getting like a full rotation, like where Jamal Williams will have a rotation where it'll be Jamal.
But again,
part of that was
due to injury because Aaron Jones went down
due to injury.
You know what I mean? So I think the trust would be there if they had to go that route. I just think they love the rotation they have. I think they love what they've got as far as going back and forth between Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams. Maybe they get him on the field a little bit more as the year goes on. But I just think as long as those two guys in front of him are healthy, he will not be playing a ton. That's just my hunch.
Yeah, I agree. And also it goes back to this whole idea that, you know, most Packer fans have, and I think we've said on Watch Party, which is, Aaron Jones has to get the ball more. This, like, rotation to Williams where, like, it's almost like Williams gets one. I love Jamal Williams. I think he's fabulous for our team. But it's just Aaron Jones is very, very special. And I feel like we don't use this. It's like you have hamburgers and you have the special sauce and you don't use the special sauce on the hamburger. It's like that's why the Shake Shack burgers are so good. They got the special sauce.
You got the special sauce, baby.
I'm down with it. We need the special sauce. Aaron Jones is the special sauce. We need more of it.
We need Tyler to make that. Needs to be some kind of meme. That you just made it. That's perfect. I gotta get Tyler on that because that's a perfect analogy. And it's always food with you. That's interesting. So I very much agree.
What can I say?
Very
I
much
like
agree. Finally, on the offensive side, I want to give some hope for people saying, "Well, okay, we're not gonna get a lot more A.J. Dillon." There is a guy who we saw four snaps from on offense last week in Tavon Austin. Now, obviously, we also saw him on punt returns, but we saw him definitely utilized in that Tyler Irvin role. I think we're going to see, I would expect, more Tavon Austin. I think his role will continue to expand. I loved what they did with some of the motion stuff. Obviously, they threw it out to the flat. I think they want to put that on tape as much as possible here, like last week, this week, et cetera. And then when they get into the playoffs, they'll start playing off of that, whether it is like a pump and go to him up the side, whether it's like trying to set something up and then go to somebody else. But I think we will see Austin utilized a lot more as the year goes on because the offense works at a much more kind of efficient level, I think, when they are going with all that orbit motion, the stuff that makes safeties and linebackers really question what they're seeing, have to adjust on the fly. The more of that, the better. And I think Tavon's going to be a big part of that. All right, Corey.
I have one more thing on offense.
All right.
I didn't have you add to the script.
Okay, all right.
So if you watch Pat McAfee's show, you probably saw on Tuesday, Big Bob season. Big Bob Tonyan was on his show. Watched it twice. I was so excited to see him on the show. And there was this whole segment where he looked to his refrigerator where he had his goals. I'm imagining it was his refrigerator. They didn't show it on camera, but I'm just imagining he has this like whiteboard and of all his goals, right? And he was talking about manifesting, and he was talking about his meditation, and he was talking about his goals, and I just thought it was so fascinating that he had 5 touchdowns as his goal for this season,
and he got 3 of those in one game,
right?
Right.
Ridiculous. So you I wrote it down, and I was just like, man, I love it. Like, there's nothing better in life than achieving your goals, and then it becomes really hard to figure out, okay, wait, what is that next thing I need to achieve, yep. right? And,
right.
And it's you know, look at where it goes back to expectation versus where reality ends up. And here we are at 10-3. And the expectation of the players was not even at this level of like right. where they are right now. So
100%.
That's really exciting for this offense.
I love it. I absolutely love that. That is a great point. The idea of, I do think he probably got a lot of that from Aaron as far as, I don't know, maybe Jair, who knows.
And Mercedes, but, yeah, he was talking about that. He was talking about Mercedes and Aaron, basically.
Yeah, I love it. That is good to hear, especially like we talked about earlier, Jace being down. They're going to need Tonyan to definitely continue on his tear at the tight end spot. All right. Let's talk about the defense. And, Corey, I will have you note, the first note on defense is a positive one. Thank you very much.
That's nice.
That's a positive note. The secondary, the Packers secondary, is playing pretty well. I don't know. Like, we don't talk about it a lot because we get so frustrated with the conversions, big plays given up, whatever. But if you look at Jair Alexander, Kevin King, Adrian Amos, and Darnell Savage, those four guys are playing pretty damn well. It's when you get to the nickel spot, it's when you get to the inside backers, the hybrid stuff on the interior, that's where it kind of gets like a clown car and you get frustrated and guys get taken advantage of. But again, Jair is Jair. We all know he's playing at an all-pro level. He's absolutely absurd. Kevin King, I thought, you know, played a really strong game. You hate that can dive at his feet thing that you saw against Adrian Peterson. I mean, just wrap up, man. I get it's Adrian Peterson, but you're not taking him up high. Wrap up. They're all guilty of that. Even Jair has done that at times this year. I hate that from anybody on the defense. But for the most part, Kevin King playing a very strong game. And I think Amos and Savage are finally to that point that we talked about this offseason in regards to being able to mix and match and utilize either one of them. Now, obviously, I think Savage is better down towards the line of scrimmage, but I think they're both being utilized really well. And I think they're playing off of each other really well. And you saw, you know, Amos had that great big hit to that pass in the flat.
Yeah.
Really quick, not having to think, not having to diagnose, just instinctually knowing, flowing, getting to the ball. I think those four guys are playing pretty well. And if they're playing at that kind of level, it's incumbent on Patton to figure it the fuck out on the inside, man. Because right now, like I said, it's all over the map. Like, there are certainly plays where it's okay, but, like, there are also plays that are it's kind of embarrassing.
I just think that you kind of identified it. We had the Patreon happy hour last night, and mm-hmm. I think that, you know, at the end of the day, I don't know, you know, everybody's going to say you're full of crap, but I don't know how much you can put on Patton. I don't know how much you can put on Patton and how much you have to put on this glaring weakness that exists
right.
for the Green Bay Packers.
The personnel.
At a personnel position, and that's at the linebacker spot. And you said it where why they got that 12 men on the field, right? Is because they're switching out personnel because they're trying to put their best guy at that position for that personnel grouping.
Right.
And there isn't really, right? Like we said it, like there isn't even a Blake Martinez, a AJ Hawk. There isn't that, you know, backer you have on the entire time.
The entire
not
time.
Switching out.
Like, exactly.
And of course you switch out players. Of course, this is today's NFL. I'm not saying right. don't switch out players, but it goes to the secondary and the defensive front are B+.
I mean,
some games they're A+, yep, right? But they are B+ players playing a B+ game 99% of the time, right? But because there's a glaring weakness in the middle that offensive coordinators are going to take advantage of, that's the weakness. That's the weakness of this defense.
Yep.
And so I wonder, does Mike Patton even have a choice, right? It comes down to, and we've talked about how, you know, he might be gun shy because of longer plays and not wanting to give up the big plays. And that could be coming from Matt himself.
Right.
The one thing I want to say about the defense and about Matt LaFleur that I said yesterday that kind of dawned on me about, you know, maybe not Patton so much, but definitely LaFleur. You know, we have the most winningest coach for when he started in the NFL, right? He's breaking records every day that he wins, right? Mm-hmm. He's one of the younger coaches in the league. Do you believe that, where do you believe Matt LaFleur is in the trajectory of his career? Is he closer to the floor or is he closer to the ceiling? Right. Not how high is the ceiling, but how close
where is do you
he?
Think he
I
is
would
relative,
venture to say,
right?
I would venture to say he's really close to the floor and the ceiling is high above him. So there's part of me that's got to, you've got to imagine that he is fundamentally aware of the weakness in the middle of the field because they're switching out personnel so much. Mm. They're trying to make up for it by camouflaging and having some right. kind of like, you know, difference. So he's not an idiot. He's looking at what Pettine has been given. Now, you know, I'm sure there's a million ways why Pettine is either gun shy or not really taking it to that next level. But this is a fundamental problem with their defense that isn't going away, although the tackling has gotten better objectively, right? I don't know. The tackling overall has gotten better than week four, week five. But I don't know how much better our defense is going to get. And I don't think Packer fans are ready for it.
That's a big question. And I do think, look, Kirksey was supposed to be that guy, right? He was supposed to be the three-down backer who wasn't going to leave the field. But, man, he is such a liability at this point, matching up against anybody, let alone, I mean, forget wide receivers, but even, you know, tight ends and especially running backs, it's a done deal. Whatever explosion, you know, physicality, explosiveness that he had, it's gone, man. So, you know, so to that, to your point, yeah, Pettine has been dealt a hand there. You see Kamal Martin, you see his explosiveness. I understand that he's young and he's going to make mistakes, and that is part of the growing process. I'd rather have him out there making those mistakes and living with them rather than watching Kirksey be in the right spot but not be able to make a play. You know, and that has happened repeatedly, especially in that Detroit game. There were a couple of embarrassing ones. And then, of course, you saw him being taken advantage of by the Colts a couple weeks ago. I just think I'd rather have Kamal out there because if you're young and you got explosiveness and you have a little bit of athleticism, at least if you do make a mistake, A, hopefully you don't make it again and you learn from it. But B, maybe you've got the wherewithal and the physicality and the athleticism to make up for the fact that you just got beat. Okay, yeah, fine. Maybe I took some false steps, but I can still get into position to make a tackle rather than Kirksey, who once he gets beat, it's over. So that, to me, is the one major switch they could make. I doubt they do. I think they will continue to kind of roll through their rotations as they have been. And like you said, Corey, I don't know how much better they're going to get this year. And I think they've got the defense they can win with. We've seen teams, you know, that are opportunistic and create turnovers, and the Packers have done some of that. But obviously, the more times you can give Aaron Rodgers chances with the football, the better your chances of winning.
Well, and I wanted to, I know you skipped ahead of the Kamal Martin, and we want to give D.
No, I did that by accident. I was just, because, you know, it was
naturally
flowing.
No, you actually did that brilliantly. You know? Rob, our producer, didn't flow with you, so he didn't realize, because he doesn't, you know, it's fine. But
I feel you.
I love to give him shit.
Poor
the,
Rob.
Want to give love to Dean Lowry, but before we do, I did mean, okay, so I wrote down some notes here.
Oh, boy, here we go.
I'd be surprised by that. But I really feel like I let the defense down because I didn't pull any defensive stats could kind of back them up because they're really hard. So I just want to apologize to the Green Bay Packers defense because I was really trying to find the nuggets and I ran out of time. But I will say that this defense, the thing that we don't want to hang our hat on because we take it for granted is this defense has made a significant amount of stops when it mattered. And we have taken those stops for granted. And we
That's
have
true.
Overemphasized the times when this defense has failed us, which maybe there's more times they failed us than when they had some stops, but I just want to put that out there.
Well, here's the thing, though. It's interesting. Andy Herman put this out there this morning on Twitter in regards to where they've been bad is in, like, first and long, which is kind of hilarious. Like, if they get, like, some kind of
fourth and 18.
Well, no, but first and long. Like, if you get, like, some kind of penalty
yeah,
and you're in first and 15 or first and 20, that's supposed to be advantageous for the defense, but it has been a detriment to this defense, which is kind of crazy. And then you flip it around, and as we talked about last week, this defense is actually the best defense in the NFL, or it was going into Sunday's game, at third and six or more, getting stops in that situation. So it's like there's so much going on in regards to what you're seeing, the kind of gut reaction, the the gut punch, if you will, when the defense does fail in certain situations. But then, to your point, Corey, like when they do get a three and out or they do get a stop or a big play, whatever, we probably don't celebrate it enough because it's more relief than it is jubilation. I mean, because you're just waiting. I also think a decade plus of watching Packers defense in the playoffs like get completely steamrolled has kind of beaten Packers fans into submission, where it's like, all right, it's just a matter of time. Come on, here. And then when it happens, you're like, yep, there we go. So I kind of understand it. Like I can't hate on Packers fans, obviously, because I'm one of them, and I'm very, very much in that boat.
You're the worst when it comes to the defense.
I don't know what you're talking about. I want to give another positive note. Banky, I got another positive notes here. I don't know what you're talking about. I want to give Dean Lowry a shout-out. Hey, thanks for showing up, Dean Lowry. I mean, look, we have been critical of Dean's play here on this program. He not only, obviously when you have back-to-back plays like he did against the Lions, you are going to get noticed, but he has had several games in a row now where he has not been a detriment. And I know that seems like a low bar, but as we were just talking about with the Packers defense, every positive I can take, I'm going to take it. You know, he has been solid. And that's, you know, hell. If I can get solid out of Dean Lowry each and every week, I will take it. So not only was he solid, he had a couple of really nice highlight plays. I love the fact that on his sack of Stafford, he literally looks like Stafford's going to let go of the ball, so he just gives him a shove. And then Stafford holds on to the ball, and he's like, oh, a sack! And then he grabs him and, like, throws him down. So shout out to Dean Lowry. Nice of you to show up. Let's keep that going, because – you'd love to see it. All right, let's talk about this Saturday night game. Panthers coming into Lambeau, into that building across the street from you. Early indications, like Sunday moving into Monday, looking at the weather report, there is a front coming through your neck of the woods, but now it looks like that's arriving Friday. So it looks like Saturday night is going to be clear, cold, but you know, a relatively nice night for football. So
I'm looking forward to the weather report. I'm going to have to get a light outside so you can see me.
Yeah, I know, right?
I haven't done the night version of that yet. there's the sunset going down. We got a little bit. We didn't get any red yet, so I made it a little bit wider so people could see Green Bay sunset.
The lovely Green Bay sunset.
The Panthers coming in Saturday night. No Christian McCaffrey. Now, who knows what shape he would have been in had he been on the field to try and destroy the Packers. We saw the Packers have everything they could handle with McCaffrey last year in that snow game. So McCaffrey will not play. But Mike Davis, who has been his replacement, he could do damage. This is the first game in a while where it's like, this is a guy who I think could really, they could use him as a hammer and try and chip away at that Packers front and really cause some damage. So Mike Davis, to me, is a big key here. Teddy Bridgewater, obviously their quarterback. I think Teddy's going to throw you a few. I think the Packers defense could be in line for a couple of interceptions. I like Teddy. I like Teddy a lot. I like his game. I thought he played pretty damn well for the Saints last year. This year, it's been really up and down. Had some really unfortunate stretches. But I think this offense does afford him opportunities down the field. But because of that, I think he has a tendency to give you a couple opportunities. So the Packers secondary should be able to get their hands on a few footballs. And then finally, you flip it around. You talk about the Panthers defense. I mean, they're kind of all over the map. It is funny watching that game against Denver. They gave up a bunch of longer touchdowns. I think Aaron Rodgers, Devontae Adams, MVS, there are going to be lots of opportunities down the field against this defense. And like I said, with the weather report being what it is, there shouldn't be significant wind. They should be able to make things go in the deep passing game. So chicks dig the long ball. We all know we all love those deep shots. I think we're going to see a few testing the Panthers secondary on Saturday night. All right, Banky, you got anything else before we get to Blogosphere?
I don't know anything about the Carolina Panthers. I'm just going to be honest about that.
But, hey, I'll tell you what.
Shout out to our friend
Travis Smith.
Travis.
Got to give Travis a shout.
loves the Carolina Panthers. I mean, I'm assuming he still does. We have some friends who used to be my Dolphins fans, and now they're Saints fans.
How does that work, right?
What's going on?
So shout out to Miles.
But you know, it's gonna be 11-3 here next Packer transplant. So
nicely said. I do love it. Whenever we do play the Panthers, we always hear from Travis. It's like the one time a year I know I'm gonna hear from Travis. So
no, you know what? Look forward to getting it. He'll text us during the game during watch party.
100%.
If they get up by one score at all, if they get up a field goal, they'll be like, what's going on?
What's going on, guys? That's like, 1,000% happening.
Like, literally, Aaron Rodgers will get on the field and will be ahead the rest of the game, and then he'll be like quiet, and then he'll ghost us.
One of the greatest days ever was that my first year at North Carolina School of the Arts when you, me, and Travis watched the NFC Championship game together. That was great. That was a great moment in Cheesehead TV history, even before Cheesehead TV existed. All right, let's get the blogosphere.
This week in the Packer blogosphere.
The internet exists, and things happen on it, and people say things, and then they are immortalized. One of those things was Mark Daniels asking Matt LaFleur how he can live with MVS. Now, we all have beaten this into the ground, which I'm not going to belabor it again, but that is the prism.
Don't worry.
Lens.
That's what I'm here for.
Through which we view today's starting. We got a bunch of stuff to get to here on Blogosphere today,
right,
but
so,
this is great.
So WBAY has a show called Cover 2. It's on the internet. You can check it out. Jason Wilde, Rob Domofsky, and one Mark Daniels, who you may not have ever heard of before at the moment he said, how can you live with MVS, as most Packer fans under 40 will attest to. So they have a show. I watch it. I love it. I love it in the sense of, like, I like to hear what Jason and Rob are going to say. Mark, I don't really care. So let's go ahead and we're going to roll this. This is in the middle of the show, by the way. They wait. This is not, they talk about burying the lead, right?
Right.
So this is the show. And finally, Chris, the producer host, he asks about MVS. So let's go ahead and roll this tape.
MVS's game today was blank.
His best by far.
Jason.
Okay. Pause. Sorry. I was gonna let us play it. Okay, hold on. Okay. Okay, so one Corey Banky, I know you guys cannot believe this. I pulled MVS's stats because I was like, wait a second, okay? This guy is in a hole, okay? He's in this internet hole. He's like a rabbit in this hole. And this guy, I mean Mark Daniels, right? He's in this hole, right, that we've all put him in, right? People are trying to get him fired. I have friends in Green Bay that are actively trying to get him fired from his radio gig. Like, this is like the cancel culture gone amok, which I don't believe in. But at the same time, it's like, dude, people are coming for you. Like, what are you doing? The best thing you could probably do is turn yourself into a heel. Like, joke about yourself, self-effacing, self-deprecating. This fool is like his best game by far. No. Let's go to the tape here, Nagler. Nagler, we're gonna go to the tape.
Is that the tape?
So okay, this is MVS's stats.
The Corey Banky
season,
tape.
Okay?
I got you.
So his best game by far, according to Mark, well, he had 6 catches. So he had more receptions than any other game this season. But in the first game of the season, he had 96 yards, 4 catches, and a touchdown. In the game against Jacksonville, which I would argue is his best game, he had 149 yards, 4 catches, and a touchdown. In this game, he had 6 catches, and he only had 85 yards and a touchdown. So I don't know that I would agree with Mark to say that it is his best game by far. Actually, what I think, Mark, is you never did your homework on MVS. You actually chose to use the MVS that you knew and remembered and you didn't like, and then you carried that narrative, and you're still carrying it. So get over yourself. All right, so let's roll this tape again because there's one other thing. This show totally buried the lead. Like, I would, if I had Mark Daniels on this show, Nagler, we would be making hay with Mark Daniels, God. Okay? If I had Mark Daniels under contract, oh, my God. You want to talk about the engagement we would get on Cheesehead TV? It would be amazing.
We'd turn him into a full heel. Full heel.
So,
yeah,
okay.
Cover
okay,
two.
So
what are you doing? Lead with it, man. How are you burying
the lead?
It?
What?
He is the heel of the internet. Expose it. So, use it.
So, okay. So my other thing is I say idiotic, stupid crap all the time. Everybody who watches this show, watches Watch Party, you know I'm a moron when it comes to, like, a lot of stuff. But you know what? I am what I am. We're live. Like, crap happens. I try not to say stupid stuff. Sometimes I can't help myself. But I laugh at myself. I'm self-effacing. I'm self-deprecating. And I just hope that'll get me through at the end of the day, right?
Right, right.
When you – I can dish it, and I can take it. Okay, that is the world we live in. If you're gonna dish stuff out, you just gotta be ready for it. You gotta be able to take it and gotta understand what we're doing. So when we watch this clip back, okay, when Jason Wilde and Rob Domofsky give their answer, watch Mark Daniels' face, because it's just classic. It's just like, it's like the world has passed this dude by and he doesn't have any clue where he's living. Let's go ahead and roll this.
MVS's game today was blank.
His best by far.
Jason.
Proof of why they continue to live with him.
I was going to say the reason they continue to.
Or dazzling. It was also a good one today. We've gone far enough ahead we can joke about this. All right, Mark.
But he's not laughing. Like, they're joking about it. But he's not. He's just sitting there. Like,
I mean,
talk
I
about being not totally unaware of yourself. I mean, I don't know. All right. All right. Like I said.
Okay. I'm sorry.
We had to do it.
I've totally beat a dead horse.
We've beaten it into the ground. We will let it go. I do got to give a shout out to someone here on the chat. Benji. What a name. Why do people still talk about MVS? He's an average NFL player with great speed. Yeah. That touchdown reception screamed average to me. Great observation by you, buddy. All right, what's next?
Also, wait.
All right.
Also, okay, one thing about wide receivers that does not get any mention in a stat,
right,
and is not in any of the stats on this stat sheet, and
right,
is the number one reason why MVS is the number two wide receiver.
That you printed out.
That 77-yard run by Aaron Jones would not have been accomplished for a touchdown without MVS's blocking. A blocking wide receiver, you can bet your sweet ass every coach in the NFL has the stats for how wide receivers block. It might not show up on this stat sheet, but it is a damn important stat, and MVS is really good at it. So,
word. Very true. All right, moving on. Today was an amazing day on Twitter.com.
Really was.
An amazing day.
Really was.
On Twitter.com. Our friends, our singular friend, Joey, over at Underage Packers. Amazing. This is incredible. I encourage everyone to watch the full video. I just want to play this single clip towards the end of it. Basically, Joey,
this is great.
Obviously, is an obsessive Packers fan. He watches all the availabilities, and he did his own video of all of the different reporters and, like, both Coach and Aaron Rodgers and Menenga and all the guys getting the questions. It's all brilliant. It's all fucking hilarious. But
so good.
This bit
it's so good.
About Jason Wilde asking Coach a question is pure brilliance. All right, roll it, Rob.
You just talk a little bit about how you've been able to develop and innovate your offense. I think this year has just really been a great year for you and your team, getting this organization on its feet again, and you're now in prime position to get a one seed in the playoff spot. How are you feeling about that so far this year? Where do you think you can go? What are your thoughts on hot dogs and Cheetos? And how does that do with Mercedes Lewis? I was just wondering your thoughts on that, as well as... And that's pretty much all I had to say on that, but I just want to get your thoughts now, Coach. Yeah, Jason. I think we just really got to emphasize and do a better job.
First of all, the hot dogs and Cheetos absolutely destroys me every time, especially going into Mercedes Lewis. That's amazing. Yeah. Amazing. So the video itself is fucking hilarious, right? But then this happened. Roll it.
Aaron, how are you today?
Hey, good. Let's keep it under 25 minutes, all right?
Oh, somebody's been on Twitter.
Oh, that's phenomenal. That is phenomenal.
That honestly might have to be the new ending of the credits for Macrotrans.
Pretty fucking great. It's pretty great. It's pretty perfect.
I mean, he doesn't say Cheesehead TV, but it's like
I was dying.
It's the jingle. It's back to Wildy.
Dying. It was back. It all comes back to Wildy. And I wanted to tell Joey, this is true. I DM'd Rogers after that all happened, and I said, "Amazing pull on the 25-minute Wildy thing. My God, that was brilliant." And he said, "That video was pretty funny. Even got me with my water and asking Tom shit. Good stuff." So Joey, you killed it today, buddy. That was
QB1 was watching
hilarious.
You.
Hilarious. That was so damn good. Oh my God. So just absolute perfection. There are days when I just want to give up, right? And then there are days when the internet and Twitter make life worth living. And that was just absolutely perfect. That was just one of the best fucking things I've ever seen.
You just made me
seen.
Snort. God, the hyperbole that just came out.
Oh, I know. I'm just trying to talk your language there, Banky. Just trying to communicate with my co-founder. Hey, speaking of communicating, someone did some communicating on the old Twitter.com yesterday. Hey, shout out to Al Bracco, who... has been doing three plays that make you go, all year long. Mm. And, it's a great little piece. He does it every week. This week, Arsenio Hall noticed it. Wait, what? Yeah, throw up the tweet. Come on now. Arsenio Hall with the crying emoji, the thumbs up, and the hashtag, So, Al, congratulations. The godfather of the things that make you go, movement, gave you a shout out on Twitter.com. I mean, hey, that's what we do. We appeal to, aging entertainers. That's our demo. That's how we roll. I love it. All right. Let's get to some super freaking chats, shall we? I got Amar starting us off with, I've had a crazy week at work. My mentor was laid off. I hate to hear that. But Cheesehead TV /the Packers/the girls have kept me going. Thank you for all you do. I'll be back. The next HH happy hour. Oh, well, thank you, buddy.
Nice.
I know it's a tough time for a lot of people out there. That's why we're here, man. We're here. It's a Packers family. Want to keep it going. We got Dustin with the look on Aaron's face when Corey says, "I have some notes," is the same look my wife gets when I say I have some decorating ideas. Carry the G. Thank you, sir.
He gets happy. He actually gets happy when I have notes because then he knows I'm not going to just fly off the handle like I actually thought about it.
I don't know, man. I enjoy when you have the notes. I will say that. Dustin also says, winning the North is a big deal. Some teams hang banners for that. Oh, yeah. I think they do that in Minnesota, probably. You win a division. Indianapolis has a bunch of banners hung for... division championships.
The only thing worse than that is when, like, Major League Baseball does, like, champagne for the first playoffs.
Oh, yeah, right? Like, you win a wild card round or something, and they're, like, popping champagne in the dressing room. Like, come on, what are you doing?
When the Brewers did that for the first time, you were like, "Oh, you're such a negative Nelly." I'm talking about that. And I was like, dude, act like
they didn't do it
there.
In the wild card round, though. I don't think. Okay. I
just feel like you should pop champagne at the World Series. Like, what are you doing? Or the championship game, I guess. I don't know. I'm an old man.
Yes, you are, as am I. That's how we roll. Let's see what else people are saying. I don't know how Twitter is still free. Yeah, exactly. There hasn't been anything in the V-Mix, no. There have been odd Facebook comments. Nothing rising to the level of a super chat, if you know what I mean. a lot of people giving Joey a shout out because obviously he's. Wait a minute. You guys do Spotted Cow for everything? We don't do. We do all sorts of different beverages, sir. I'm drinking I'm drinking a New York beverage at the moment in a, again, lovely pint glass provided by the Pro Shop. Love my friends over the Pro Shop.
I'm drinking a Green Bay Packer, a Green Bay Stillmank Brewery Guava IPA and a water. One cup is a water.
There's a lot going on there, Banky.
So you don't know which one I'm drinking. See that?
Well said. Well done, sir. Oh, I like it. Adam, thank you for the super chat. Thanks for all you guys do. Has anyone told you guys look alike? You could be brothers. You know, we did get that early on, but then I got fat. Now I don't. We don't get it as much anymore. So
I was fat for a hot minute. I was fat after I quit smoking.
Yeah, but how do you do? Face. Like, wait, Banky, we're here. We got time. Like, the fucking internet is free, so it doesn't matter. Wait, so how do you do that shit? Where, okay, people, if you don't know, Banky does this thing, all right? And I didn't realize this until I was there for training camp last year, and so I stayed at Banky's house for the entirety of like a month. Banky gets up in the morning and doesn't eat. Like, he has, like, nuts and shit and, like, granola and some bullshit all throughout the day.
No, I don't. I have almonds. I only have almonds.
Almonds, exactly. And then, have, like, and then he has a really nice meal at night, and then he does it all again. Like,
it's called intermittent fasting.
I don't know how you do it, man.
It's just how my body works. It's just how my body works, you know?
Oh, Brendan, yeah, that's a really good question. A football quote. We'll get back on football here. Jair in the slot, yeah. Amos in the box. Yeah, man, that's one way to go. I think you probably want Savage in the box more than you want Amos in the box. But I love the idea of Jair in the slot. I saw Andy Herman suggested that last night. To me, it helps get Jackson on the field on the perimeter. You've got Jackson and King locking it down outside. Let Jair take the slot. I'm all in on that rather than having Jair and King and then having Chandon Sullivan get picked on like he did. I mean, no one said it outright, but it sure looked like Chandon got benched halfway through that Detroit game. And, hey, if you're the opponent, of course you're going to go after Chandon Sullivan. You're not going to try Jair and Kevin first. You want to go pick on Chandon Sullivan. So now I would say, like Andy said, put those guys. Put Jair and Jackson. You know Jackson's going to get picked on of the two. But I'd much rather have a Jair on the slot and or on the interior, because then not only can I match him up with some of these quicker dudes, but I can utilize him as a blitzer, kind of like they used to use Woodson back in the day. So, yeah, I'm all in on that suggestion. I don't know if Pettins will go that route, though. Yeah, Robin just said Jair can blitz from the slot. Hey, Robin, shout out. Happy birthday again, buddy. I know we sang to you last night on the
Are you going to be telling Robin happy birthday all week? If we see Robin on the watch party, you're going to be like, yo, happy birthday from
it's what I do, man. Tuesday, I love Robin, man. He's a hardcore Patreon member here at Cheesehead TV. So, you know, shout out.
He is hardcore. He always gives us props.
I mean, damn, shit about Corey, he is on Packers Daily every single day from across the pond. Here at every single watch party, here at every single Packer transplants from across on the other side of the world. Yeah, he gets a couple birthday shout outs. It's how I roll. It's what I do.
Happy birthday, Robin, from yesterday. Happy birthday.
The day after my birthday is not my birthday, Mom. Sorry. Did you see the 2020 team photo yet? Probably the coolest and most depressing team photo I've ever seen. Todd, not sure I agree with your police work there, but if that's how you want to categorize it, you go right ahead. It's all good.
Okay, let me just say, I'm going to tell you right now, the coolest Green Bay Packer team photo of all time is 1924, and I'll tell you why. Because it's the only team photo with both Curly Lambeau and a dog. Pets win every time.
Every time.
Okay?
Every single time. Alex, thank you for the super chat. If 33 leaves, can 30 achieve the same production? No. Love me some Jamal.
The
two of them possibly
can. You made that
point. But, yeah, no. It will not become the Jamal Williams show. No, sir. Oh, PacFan39, thank you for the super chat. Home Alone parody on Cheesehead TV Twitter was awesome. Thank you. Tyler absolutely killed it with the old man Rogers GIF game. That was absolutely insane.
Yeah, that was good.
Legless One, thank you for the super chat. Charlie Barron segment every game for the playoffs. I don't know about every game, but Charlie will be joining us for the Bears game in Week 17 on the watch party.
So prepare yourself.
Actually, speaking of, we have a bunch of guests coming up here on Cheesehead TV, both on Packer Transplants and on the watch party. Let's shoot them out there for the world to hear, so they when they cancel on us, we can call them Wayne Larrabee.
Wayne Larrabee.
Next Wednesday, the mayor of the city of Green Bay will be joining us here on Packer Transplants. That's right.
Oh, dear.
He's going to talk Packers, but, you know, some obviously Packers involvement in the community and the team and the prospects for the 2020 postseason. The mayor's got opinions, people, and we're going to hear him here on Packer Transplants live. And then next week's watch party, we will have do I have this correct, Corey? Will you be in attendance? Will you be here in New York City?
If I got to pass COVID protocol.
That's right.
That's what's going
to
happen.
That has to happen. But it will be in studio watch party, Corey Banky, myself, and the return of Perry Goldstein. That's right. Perry from Pax What She Said will be right here in the studio. The three of us will be watching the Titans game. It is going to be a lot of fun. Hopefully the internet doesn't die this time like it did last time Perry was here.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Oh, yeah, that was a fun one. Perry and I literally watched, I think, the second quarter of that game on her phone waiting for the internet to get rebooted. That was a good time.
I gave you guys play-by-play.
I know. It was good. You did a great job. You did an excellent job. But so Perry will be joining us for the Titans game. And then week 17, Charlie Behrens. Corey will be back in Green Bay at that point. Charlie will be joining us from his home, and I will be here in New York.
No, I'm going to be in New York. That's the third, right?
Yes. So you'll still be here. Okay,
yeah,
great.
I'll be in New York.
Oh, yep. so we don't need a three box. Okay, very good. So, yes, Corey Banky will be here, and I will be here, and Charlie Behrens will be joining us live as well. So that's going to be a lot of fun. Lots of special guests to, you know, bring us down the stretch here. The Packers' special season shaping up to be pretty damn special. Hope you guys can join us for all of that. William, thanks for the super chat. Shout out to when AJ flipped the bird on live TV. Oh, that was the shocker, right? Like, that's an all-timer. Oh, by the way, holy shit. You know, I know he blocks me on Twitter, and he'll never hear this, and I don't, you know, it doesn't really matter. But AJ Hawk is an underrated aspect of the entire vibe going on with Rodgers on McAfee.
100%.
Like,
100%.
His ability to call Rodgers out on his bullshit, like, at any moment, whether with a question or with an aside or whatever, because he knows Aaron better than probably most humans on the planet at this point, and he knows with the buttons he can press and get away with it and blah, blah, blah. It is like fucking phenomenal.
It's like it's like if you or I, whichever one, became like a major celebrity and then we did a show and the other one was just the person who just was like,
it's
your shit doesn't stink. Oh, really?
Exactly.
Remember when you tried to wipe your ass and you vomited on your hand? You know, like, just like, remember that time?
It's so true.
It's so good.
It's
so good.
Absolutely outstanding. I love that he's there. I love what he contributes. So shout out to AJ and for flipping the bird on live TV. So, like, cigar smoking should be its own show. Yeah, fair. All right.
That's the biggest complaint of AJ is that he
smokes cigars. I love it.
I don't understand why he.
Why would you complain?
I don't
love because
he's having a
stogie.
Like,
who cares? It's like me drinking beer. I drink beer. Big deal. So what?
Yeah, I don't have a problem with it. Just some people do. Like, some people have been like, I can't watch that because he's smoking a cigar. I'm like, really? Who cares?
Somebody actually said that? Wait, a human being let that escape their lips? That's amazing. That is absolutely incredible. Hey,
you know,
speaking
this,
of, we talked a little bit about the Patreon happy hour. Let's give a shout out to our Patreon members.
Yes.
Thank you so much for the support that you give us. Last night was so much fun. Each and every week we do the Patreon happy hour. It's always a raucous time, but last night took it to a whole new level. It was really fun. Great group of people. If you want to become a Patreon member, please go to patreon.com/cheeseheadtv. There's lots of different levels you can get involved with. You can either pay by month or give us the year. But it is a lot of fun, and it is outstanding, and we really, really appreciate the support. It goes to everything we do with the brand, video, social, the website, everything. Can't thank you guys enough for the support you give us there.
We're going to try to do them Monday, Tuesdays.
Yeah.
Before transfer.
Probably Tuesday. We'll probably make Tuesday nights a regular thing.
Tuesdays.
I think, you know,
that way,
stay out of the way of Monday Night Football.
The associate
blah, blah, blah.
Producers and some of the people on Patreon, like, they can give us tips and stuff and content ideas
for
Packer transplants.
It's
what
a good
they
time.
Want to talk about.
It's a good time, man. It's a lot of fun. So I can't thank you guys, each and every one of you, really support everything we do here at Cheesehead TV. It goes a long way. We can't thank you enough. Corey, you got anything
Instead
else?
Instead of happy hour, you know what we should call it? We should call it we should call it the Cheesehead TV Packer Transplants Producer Room.
No, I'm going to stick with happy hour. I think we're going to stick with happy hour. Although that will certainly be utilized for that aspect of things. There's no doubt about it. You got anything else for the fine folks at home there, Corey?
No, I've moved to water.
Yeah, very good. Well, that'll do it for this episode of Packer Transplants. We'd like to thank everyone who joined us today and who makes Cheesehead TV part of their daily Packers routine. We are and will always be devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide.
2.86, Tom says. So yes, it's a roundup in that case. But
I was trying to be generous.
Thank you, Nags. I appreciate that. You know, I understand your question. I think there may be a misnomer among yourselves and the others at Cheesehead TV. Is that right?
That is correct.
That maybe if a second and 10 is called and it's a run pass, and I'm going to choose the pass out of spite for the
I can not spite. You. I didn't say spite. Come on now.
Okay.